Oh, hey, Bumper Podcast. It's me. It's me. And we're back with a full episode, an episode that's got, it had the commercial, and it had a, it has an interview with Pig that he lined up. Finally, he did something. He talked to somebody. And we don't have call-ins. We don't have a review. That's fine. You know what? We build. Little baby steps. Little baby steps. We're going to get there. How are you doing? What have you been up to? Me? Oh, me? Oh, so much. Oh, so much. Like what? Well, last week we had a birthday party here at the house and here at headquarters. And so by the numbers, it was an 8-year-old's birthday party. And it was a spooky Star Wars party because he likes Star Wars and it's in October. So I just crammed spooky in front of it thinking, oh, well, that makes sense. What does spooky Star Wars mean? No idea. I have no idea. I don't know. But it worked for me. And so what it meant was I got to do a lot of Star Wars type of decorations and activity type things. And then I got to make some things that were kind of spooky, like little touch boxes, they're called, where you stick your hand in a box. You can't see what's in there. And I made all these cool drawings for, like, what was it? Like Jawa toes or Sarlacc spines or Wampa hearts. So all these like Star Wars things, and you'd stick your hand in there and what is it? It's creepy. That was the intention, of course, but of course the way kids work, what happened was exactly kind of what I didn't want to have happen. One of the things I assumed was they would run by the boxes and ignore them and be like, who cares? Which I would have been fine with. But one of the kids stuck his hand into the box of toes. Wookie toes. It was Wookie toes. And he grabs me and goes, ew! And then he pulls his hand out, holding all the baby carrots that were inside the box. And I was like, oh, no, put the... And he just turns and flings them, like, hard, throws them into the face of another child. Carrots have been thrown. I just want to point out, there was something, there were 25, 28, I don't know how many kids exactly, and then all the parents that come with those kids, there were 70 people, roughly, at my house. 70 people at my house for a spooky Star Wars party. It didn't rain. It rained a lot the next day, but it didn't rain, so that's good. I had bought pool floats, because Target has sales, like super-duper sales at this time of the year. And so I bought like 10 beach balls for 58 cents each and like all these pool toys and stuff. And I threw them all in the backyard. And I and when the kids all got here, and like I had a table set up and we had made masks. So, dear Etsy, don't ever make your own masks, especially if you're making 30 of them. Why? Because it takes forever. And so, like, you draw the thing, you cut the thing out, you cut out the eye holes, and then you have to click, click, put the holes in the sides, and then get the rubbery string, and then you have to tie the rubbery string. I mean, it's like, it was an ordeal. It was an ordeal. And while we're doing it, the entire time we're making masks, they were Stormtrooper masks, I was like, they're not even going to look at these. They're going to run right, they don't care. Why would they care? They're masks. So, they were on the table when they came in. And the goodie bags were on the table. And the little light-up sword things were on the table, right? Kids ran past that stuff to start attacking the pool floats. And then they started attacking each other with the pool floats. So I had bought these three things. You know, like, outside of businesses, when there's, like, a new business, and they put the blow-up guy who has kind of, like, crazy hair, and he, like, wiggles and waves everywhere? So they had those, but they were pool floats, and they were like 7 feet tall and pretty, you know, they were huge. And so I had to put them in the backyard. I didn't really know what kids were going to do with them. I mean, honestly, I had no idea. But what they did with them was insane. And I'm going to tell you all about it right after the Pig interview.
Hey everybody, it's me, Aloysius J. Pig, and finally, Bumpercar got the software figured out so I can start interviewing people again. Which is great, because that means I ain't gotta talk to him as much and I can talk to very interesting people. I suppose the person who's on the phone right now is probably a very interesting person. I know his name is David. I know his name is David G. And after that, I get a little confused, but I think it's David Garby. So, Mr. David Garby, are you on the line?
I am. How are you, Aloysius?
I'm phenomenal. How about yourself?
I'm doing pretty well. A little gassy, but thanks for asking.
Why didn't you ask about that? What's going on? What'd you eat lately?
Oh, everything. Mostly my kids' leftovers.
Oh, you're like a carrion. You're like a vulture. You're like an American eagle.
It's true.
You're soaring over. You're like a helicopter parent, but only to pick up your kids' refuse.
That's true. I'm soaring proudly over a huge garbage pile of leftovers.
Now, what kind of food do your kids eat?
Oh, they eat a lot of couscous. They're big pizza eaters. Tonight we had bagel pizzas for dinner.
Do you ever say, like, when they're eating couscous, do you ever, like, you're talking to them and you're like, what do you want? They're like, couscous. And you're like, you sound like a pigeon. This is like couscous. Like that.
No, we don't do that so much. We do have a babysitter that whenever she's trying to get them to eat, it always sounds like she's forcing it because, hey, try your couscous.
Whoa.
You don't like the couscous? How about the quinoa? You don't want the quinoa?
I like how she sounds. Is she available? I mean, I don't mean to get in your business, but she's her accent reminds me of something.
Oh, she's very taken. I don't know if you could handle her, Aloysius. That's a lot of lady.
Oh, wow. Oh, well, all right. You know, maybe I'm just a pig to fit the bill is all I'm saying.
Well, that's possible. That's the course of true love never runs smoothly. So
is that a bumper sticker? What is that? Like a T-shirt?
No, that's Shakespeare.
Who?
William Shakespeare. He's a famous playwright.
Oh, Billy Shakespeare. Oh, wait a minute. Nice segue. Speaking of playwrights, tell me a little bit about yourself and what you're up to. That's what I do, right?
Gosh, thanks for asking. I'm an actor, and I have started doing solo performance. So I write plays based on things that happen in my life.
Oh, like couscous? Is that going to make it into a play?
Couscous could very well make it into the next show, yeah.
Oh, man.
So I take things that happen in my life, and then I write a play about them. But what's interesting is I'm the only actor in the play. It's called a solo performance or a one-man show where I play all the different characters that happen in these different scenes from my life.
Wait a minute. So you're like talking to yourself and you're like, I'm the man in the mirror. No, I'm the man in the mirror. Like that?
Kind of like that, only I have to be the man in the mirror and then I have to be the mirror too.
Whoa! My mind exploded. What are you talking about?
Pick up your mind. You're going to need that.
I lost all my marbles. You know what? I do the same thing. I do what I call a one pig show every day in the shower. And I'm like, right now, I'm the one who's washing my tootsies. Like that. Is that kind of show it is? I don't know.
It's similar, only there's less soap involved.
It's a dirty show.
Well, no, it's just not quite as clean as your shower show. That's all.
Here's the thing. I shower in mud. Again, I am a pig. I got to keep the flies off. You understand?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, because here's the thing. The flies, they know how sweet I am. They look at me. They know.
Yeah. They want to sink their teeth into some Aloysius, right?
Who doesn't? At this point, I look around the corner. I got to be like, is the coast clear? Otherwise, I'm not going because I don't want somebody grabbing me and taking a bite, you know?
Right, because you know what? Everybody's trying to bring home the bacon.
And put it in a pan?
Yeah, and you don't want it to be you.
I don't want it to be me. So wait, you're an actor?
That's true.
Okay, let's do some act. I took some acting classes in, you know, back in Juilliard. And I went to this for a while. So let's do some acting classes. Let's see here. Be happy. Good, good. I like what you went with that. Okay.
Did you like that? Yeah.
It was like a silent heapiness.
It's an understated choice.
Act like you're amazed. See? This guy's for real. For real. So now that we got that out of our chest, now you write these stories?
I do. I started a few years ago writing out a story that happened to me once, and it was, I had so much fun doing it. I knew I wanted to perform it in front of my friends and see if they liked it, and I got such good feedback. People enjoyed it so much. I thought, oh, I should write this whole story. I should expand this. So now the show that I have coming up is actually almost an hour long. It's about 50 minutes long.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. How many commercial breaks we got?
Not one.
Okay, because my bladder is very tiny, and sometimes, I got to go potty. So what am I going to do? Am I going to miss, the whole thing? Can I pause? What are we doing?
You should bring a small sack.
Okay. All right, careful. I see what you're doing.
Or other sponge type material.
Oh, the theater's not going to appreciate that. But okay, all right.
You know what? We have to live for today, Aloysius. We can't. No day but today.
Did you just YOLO me?
I might have.
Did you just accidental YOLO me?
It wasn't on purpose. I'm not young enough to do that on purpose. if that happens, it's an accident.
Accidental YOLO on the 47.
Can we get a yellow card?
Yeah. Oh, you're back on the bench, sir. You if you YOLO like that at your age, you're probably gonna break a hip or something. I just want you to be careful.
I should really look twice before I YOLO.
Because we don't have that kind of insurance on this podcast. So if somebody has a YOLO accident, I can't do nothing for you. You're not gonna sue me. I'm just gonna hang up the phone and be like, I never talked to him. And if
Can I get workman's comp for it?
Yeah, sure. We'll pay you double what you're making right now. What is that? Absolutely nothing. Perfect. All right. Life of an actor.
Time zero.
Did somebody, Bumper Guy told me, I'm going to come back to this doodad, but did you used to do, speaking of Shakespeare, what's it called? You're out in the mud. You're a jester. You're eating turkey legs.
I used to work at Renaissance fairs.
Really?
Oh, yeah. That's when I was young and pretty.
Now, did they have rides at Renaissance Fairs?
They do. They have human powered rides, so it's kind of rides, kind of like you what you would find at an amusement park. Only instead of being powered by electricity or machines, they're all powered by big burly guys named Raven.
Hold on a second here, big burly guys, you say, huh?
Yeah, with multiple piercings.
YOLO. I'm just gonna. I'm just like. So, what did you do at the place? Were you one of the burly? Are you burly? I don't even know.
I'm burly from the knees down. I'm very thick and hearty from the knees down. Everywhere else, I'm spindly.
Knees down. So you got cankles? Is that what we're talking about?
Well, I don't like to brag, but yeah, there's definitely some thickness going on down there. There's some tree trunk action.
Now, so Bumper Car, one time he bought new shoes and he was so excited and he took a picture of the shoes and he was like, hey, everybody, check out my new shoes online. And people were like, nice cankles, Bumper Car. And like, he didn't even know what it was. And he's all crying to me. And I was just like, bro, you got some thick ankles happening. Like, what?
He should know better than to post pictures of his ankles. Here's the thing. The cankles is just a very hip insult. So even if you don't have them, people like to say that you do. Because that insult hasn't been around as long as, fat butt.
Fat butt? What's that?
Well, if you have a big butt, people have been saying fat butt for a long time. Cankles is relatively new on the insult scene.
I've never heard the term fat. Hey, what's up, fat butt? I never heard that. That's something people say.
Oh, really? You've never heard the term fat butt?
What? You got a fat, what? What? You got a big
fat butt? Got a fat butt.
Yeah, okay. It's fun, but I never heard it. Wow.
Well, Aloysius, I'm really sorry, but If you've never heard the term, it means people say it when you're not listening.
No, wait a minute. Now I'm feeling more self-conscious than I ever felt ever on my own
you know,
show.
You know what? You know what? Let's not keep talking about this, because you are a beautiful creature. You are a child of the universe. You are a beautiful pig son of God. You have nothing to be ashamed of.
I'm beautiful, no matter what they might say.
Hey, Aloysius, I want you to know, big is beautiful.
The world, is it the world or the worlds? The world, the word, can't keep me down.
I think it's words. The words can't keep me, yeah.
I don't know the words to this song, but it's making me cry.
Aloysius, I want you to take a second. Just give yourself, take your tiny pig arms and just give yourself a big old hug. Just self-hug.
Okay, just so this is awkward.
About you?
I don't even got arms, but I'm going to imagine I do, and I'm going to give a little. Okay. Okay.
See how nice that feels?
You know what? I think that maybe one day I'm going to sit down and I'm going to write my own play about this conversation. and I'm going to perform it in front of my friends and see what they say. And then I'm going to expand it. And then I'm now, wait a minute. So tell me, what is your play about? I was trying to bring it back.
It's called Dude, Where's My Karma?
It's a movie, right?
No, that's just it. It sounds like the title of a movie, but I added ma to the end. Instead of Dude, Where's My Car, it's Dude, Where's My Karma.
Now, is that like you added ma, like manamana, like that?
It's very much like that.
Manamana. Do-be-de-be-do-do. Like that, okay. Okay.
Dude, where's my Panama Karma? Dun, 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 dun.
Oh, yeah, manamidu. Yibidabaludu. I don't know the words to that neither. I just know the general melody.
Have you ever been somewhere where you felt like, wow, I don't know if I belong here. Everyone here is a little bit different than me. I don't really fit in. Have you ever had that experience?
Bro, I'm a 2 foot tall pig hanging out in a world that doesn't really, you know, acknowledge or look at. Yeah.
So all the time.
Oh, basically my whole life. Yeah.
Oh, that's sad. That's what it was like for me growing up. Like,
really?
People were nice to me, but I kind of felt like, I don't know if I fit in around here. I'm a little different.
Where'd you grow up? The moon?
Kentucky.
Basically what I said, right? Right?
Pretty much. It is a different planet.
Are there any craters in Kentucky?
Yes.
Okay, so you might have been on the moon. That's what I'm just saying. There's a parallel here. Awesome.
Yeah.
Was Lance Armstrong the first astronaut to ever be in Kentucky?
No, he was the second. John Glenn was the first.
Tom Glenn was the first. Lance Armstrong was the second. Tom Ford was the third.
No, Lance Armstrong was the first one to bike to the moon. You're getting your astronauts confused.
I conflate. Sometimes I do conflate. I do. I get very confused.
Hey, that happens to the best of us and me. So.
So you grew up in Kentucky.
Kentucky. Do you know that's a Shawnee word that means sacred hunting ground?
Kentucky does?
Yes, the Kentucky.
Really? And the Shawnee, they were the Native American tribe,
yeah.
Now, so where Bumper Crow grew up, it's in Macon, Georgia, and there was the Okmulgee Indians there, and their tribe, and they had what do they have? The doodads. There were these giant mounds. What was it called? It was called, I don't remember. But we used to take field trips there, and it was wonderful.
Were they big burial mounds?
I want to say maybe, but I don't know if they were. It was 100 years ago when I was there, so I don't really know.
Were they mounds of chocolate syrup?
No, that I would remember. There was no whipped cream. There was no cherries on top. There was
that is disappointing.
And I feel like it was like a national parks thing where you could actually go in, and maybe they had done some sort of, not renovating, but it's not a bungalow, but like they had
made a reenactment of a, you know, whatever. I can't remember, but it was Okmulgee Mounds, something. I got to look it up. I don't know. I'll figure it out. But so what kind, did you have stuff like that?
No, we didn't have stuff like that. Kentucky has one of the largest, maybe the largest natural indoor caves in the world, Mammoth Cave, that has like stalactites and stalagmites in it.
Which ones are on the top? Which ones are on the bottom?
Stalactites with a C is on the ceiling. Stalagmite with a G is on the ground.
Oh, so the G. Oh, I see what you did there. The C like stands for ceiling and the G stands for ground.
That's my mnemonic device.
Excuse me?
My mnemonic device. My phenomenon device.
Now, what is a mnemonic device?
Mnemonic is something that helps you remember something else.
Okay, so how am I going to remember that word? What's my mnemonic device for mnemonic?
That's just it. You don't get one. You just have to memorize it. Isn't that ironic?
Yes. Just like that song by that Canadian girl whose name I can't. Amy Mann, I think her name is.
I don't think that's it.
It's probably not it. She was Moose on You Can't Do That on Television.
I think you're conflating again.
Okay, it happens a lot, is what I'm saying. The mind, you know, the mind wanders. The mind gets confused.
It's true.
So you were born in Kentucky.
Kentucky. The gist of the show is I grew up in a wonderful, loving household with my dad and my two sisters, a very loving, welcoming family. Everything about them is great, but my dad is very Christian. We grew up Methodist.
Oh, okay.
Mainly because, you know, his dad was before him, and generally the kind of household you grow up in is kind of the religious path that you take.
Oh, Bumpakar's kids are doomed then.
It's true. I know, right? That guy, he's doing a number on those guys.
Womp womp. They're gonna join the circus religion or whatever that is.
Debbie Downer theme music.
They're like, here. Oh, look, gypsies are coming back. Here we go.
But the so one of the things that was really important to my dad is that, you know, we go to church every Sunday and that we kind of embrace the teachings of the church and that we have a very genuine relationship with God. He really emphasized that, making it very personal and, you know, figuring it out for yourself. You have that personal connection yourself. And so the more I explore that notion, kind of really figuring out what my relationship
with God. Oh, no, you just roboted off. Say that last sentence again.
Oh, the more I explore the notion of kind of defining my own personal relationship with God and figuring out what that is for me, the more I realized I wasn't really getting that out of the church that we were going to and what we were Christianity that we were practicing that I was learning all about. So it was a difficult decision, but I started exploring other spiritual paths, other kinds of faith. And I didn't think, oh, well, Methodist isn't quite it. Let me try Baptist or let me try Catholic. I just completely ditched Christianity altogether. And I kind of went to the other side of the world. Even though it was weird, it's really difficult for my family. You know, initially they thought it was just kind of a phase and, oh, it's something he's going through. So I didn't really talk to them very much about it. Until after I finished college. So kind of like 7 or 8 years, because this started early in high school.
Okay.
And I kind of, you know, spent kind of some formative time figuring out what it is that I wanted to do. And, you know, I still didn't figure that out at that point. But once I finished college, I was going to move away to New York City. And
that's a den of evil up there, you know?
Yes. Whew, thank goodness. Bring it on.
Yuck. Oof.
But I got to I had to talk with my dad because that was the most important relationship for me. And, you know, I told him that it wasn't my path and I needed to figure out what my path was going to be. And it was really hard for him to hear. But over the years, we've always kind of maintained an open dialogue about it so that if he ever wants to ask me about what it is that I'm practicing, we don't want to get to a point where we feel like, oh, we can't talk about it. It's too difficult or it's too weird.
Okay.
We want to try to, you know, at least be able to discuss what's going on.
Wow. And so the whole show is about this, like, this journey, this whole path that you were on and everything?
Yeah, very much so. So that's really how things started. And then when I moved to New York City, I started volunteering and then working at a place that taught a lot of different kind of spiritual practices. It was, you know, they taught yoga, but it's more than just yoga. It was also meditation and, you know, Kabbalah and drawing on the right side of the brain, almost any kind of alternative or different kind of spiritual path you can think of, they offered some kind of class in. So it was really kind of a crash course. I almost think of it as like a master's degree in spiritual studies, because I, over the course of several years, I studied so many different things. It really kind of opened my eyes and gave me a better sense of, kind of what's out there and what do different people practice and what are the things about those practices that appeal to me.
So I'm curious. So you grew up in Kentucky and it was a fairly religious family, and then you moved to New York and you kind of just you dove in, and just what you just said, it was like you got like a master's in, like, so are you a very spiritual person? Like, you look for that stuff?
I do. I really, this is one of those things that I don't. People now, it's kind of a cliche nowadays. A lot of people like to say, oh, I'm not religious, but I'm spiritual, you know, and their eyes get really moist and dewy when they say that, as if that makes them a wonderful person. But that's kind of how I feel. Like, I'm very into...
Wait, did your eyes just get dewy when you said that? I'm just checking.
Yeah, they did.
A little bit?
Yeah, just a bit. But that's, you know, that's very much how I'm very into finding what feels like an authentic connection to, you know, how to God or goddess. Some people prefer to refer to God as in the female form, the goddess, as opposed to God. I'm really into, you know, whatever, finding that authentic connection in whatever way feels real and genuine for you. I think that's very different for each individual. If you're really kind of digging deep and trying to find what works for you, as opposed to just kind of, I think a lot of people, stick with the path that, they grew up with because it's easy and they don't have to challenge anything, and they can just kind of sit back and, you know, check that in their mind, like check that little box of, well, you know, God's taken care of. I got my religion out of the way.
With politics and with their food too, I think.
Yeah. I think so. It's easier to not think and just kind of accept what, you know, what other people tell you.
Yeah. It's like, daddy ate mashed potatoes. I eat mashed potatoes. And you're like, all right, bro. Right. Have you ever tried a scallop potato? Like, there's a whole other world out there.
Throw a sweet potato in there. Get a little beta carotene.
No, I call those yams. Is that okay?
That's okay. I want you to know, though, because I like you, yams and sweet potatoes are not the same thing.
Nope. I'm not going to. Nope. Tell me the difference. They look like potatoes and they're kind of orange, right?
Well, I don't exactly know the difference. It's kind of like toads and frogs. I know they're not the same, but if you ask me, which one is bigger and more brown? I don't know.
I know toads kiss better. That's just a personal experience. It was a weird time in college. That's all I'm going to say. Yeah.
That was a crazy weekend, wasn't it?
Experimentation. Okay, there. We're going to leave it at that. Moving on. So I was wondering, you got kids, you were saying now, right?
Yes. Would you like one of mine?
No. I hear plenty of them here. I'm good. I'm like that uncle pig, you know, who just kind of walks into the room, looks around, does something funny, and then leaves while the kids cry. I got no interest in having any of my own right now. Maybe in the future. I don't know. But you got this play. It's about your journey and everything. And then you come to New York. Now, does it button up into a bow with your kids? Like, how do you treat this whole thing with them?
I haven't, only because this story... for me, kind of came to a natural conclusion years ago, you know, before I had the kids. So I don't really talk about them in this show at all, but I am hard at work on my next script, which is, you know, deals with being a dad today in Brooklyn, and kind of what that's like and how it's different, for better or for worse, than the way I was raised, you know, 30, 40 years ago, growing up in Kentucky, in a very different time, in a very different place. So I'm working on a show where I kind of explore some of that stuff. And right now the title is What the Father.
I got nervous. I thought you were going to say something else.
Well, that's the idea.
You really make some good punny words with your titles, huh?
Oh, I got to have a hook.
Oh, here. Oh, okay. Let's see. You were talking about couscous earlier. You should. So the woman that you had these kids with, you should write a story about how you met her and whatever. And it, you can call it chickpeas. Like if your first date
later,
was,
I'll take the chickpeas.
If your first date was at a Mediterranean place or whatever, and you'd be like chickpeas. You know what's bad is that you love that more than you want to. I can hear it in your laugh.
That's my begrudging laugh.
Yeah, I do that a lot to people. They're like, oh, I hate that I'm laughing at this, but oh, I can't stop.
And then he got me with that one, pig.
And then the pig said, chickpeas. Well, hey, listen, this has been amazing. I'm so sorry I have to go to bed because, you know, I got to get my beauty sleep. A lot of beauty sleep I need.
Yes, you do. Yes,
tell
you
me
do.
Where I can see this show, because it sounds really, I mean, like, I got to say, all the interviews I've had on the Bumper Podcast, a lot of comedians, a lot of whatnot, and here we go. But this is very deep. Like, I felt like I was on the edge of my seat listening to you about this stuff.
So nice. Thanks, Aloysius.
Oh, no.
Well, if you or anyone listening is interested, it's going to be part of a theater festival that's taking place in Manhattan in September and October. Right now there's one performance, and it's on Wednesday, October 25th at 7:30 p.m.
Okay.
And if you want to get more information or get tickets, you can go to DudeWheresMyKarma.com.
Oh.
And get more info about it.
So Bumper Guy, he's going to reach out to you and get all the pertinent links. But that one, that was pretty easy. We can remember that, I think. Well, listen, when you get your next show, or maybe even if you just want to chat at some point, you know, we can workshop chickpeas, whatever you want to do. You can teach me more about Kentucky. Or whatever, or maybe I'll see you with a show. I don't know, but
that would be great, Aloysius. I've had a great time chatting with you.
I must say,
I know a lot of talking animals, and I think you might be the funniest pig I know.
Oh wow! I'm gonna, you know what? If that felt a little backhanded, but I'm just assuming. It's just because you're kind of from the South, and I know that's how those people do it down there, where they're like, come
sure,
here.
Sweet pea. You know what? I think you might be the funniest animal I know, but there is this one ocelot that is just, I mean, you just have to meet him.
Bro, I can't hang with an ocelot. I mean, just right off the bat, the name is funnier than mine, so the audience is like, cool, it's the ocelot. Whereas when I walk up, they're like, oh, it's a pig. Like, they don't care, right? Ocelot? Come on.
You guys could like have a throwdown, because that would be a good contest to see who's funnier.
Is his name Lancelot Ocelot? Because that would be pretty awesome. He should be a rapper.
No, but he should change it to that. That is a much better name.
My name is Lancelot, and I'm an ocelot, and I do lots.
It's actually Ozzy.
Ozzy the Ocelot. Yeah, that's okay too. It's just not as, I don't know.
It's not as good. Well, you can't be born with a perfect name, right?
My name is Aloysius J. Pig. I feel like I did pretty good for myself, you know?
Not all of us have the best name in the world.
Yeah. I got my name, actually, off of a Wu-Tang name generator. So,
Yeah, you don't know that. You know that joke you didn't get. That's fine. That's where Childish Gambino. Do you know who that is? He's a rapper. That's where he got his name. Never mind. Okay, we were doing so well.
What off to then?
off the rails.
One swing and a miss.
That's what happens when I get sleepy. All right, so ladies and gentlemen, Mr. David Garby, he has a wonderful play called Dude, Where's My Comma? And you can find out more information at dudewheresmycomma.com. Bumper Guy's going to put all the pertinent links in the place when he puts the thing up for this. And I am Aloysius J. Pig, and thank you so much again, Mr. Garby.
Thank you, Aloysius. It was a treat talking to you. I hope your skin didn't get too dry. Do you need to go take a mud bath?
No, bro, I'm going to just spritz some water on me and go lay under the shed, because that's where I sleep. Real quick, I just realized your name is Garby, and you're writing this show about, like, your God stuff. That's a weird, because I should have pulled that up about 20 minutes ago. Oh, well, next time.
You want to hear a quick story?
I do.
In the days of yore, when my family first came to this country, they settled in they created a little village in Virginia, and they all got together and they were very religious even back then, and they called their little town, their little hamlet, God Obey, because they thought it was super important for everyone to obey God. And so everyone that lived there took the last name of God Obey.
What?
You know, Sally God Obey and John God Obey. And but it was just so hard to say that after a couple hundred years, they were like, oh, let's get rid of this middle syllable. And so God Obey turned into God Be.
Did you ever hear that song by Otis Redding? It's like, sitting by the God Obey, like that?
Yeah. That's my
just
theme song.
Watching my time away.
Watching my vowel roll away.
Oh, I don't understand. Again, I don't know the word. I just make up words. I don't care, but nothing. That's really cool, though. I want to hear more about the God Obeys, because that's neat. Wow. This is so much. You're like an onion. I just keep pulling back layers and layers and layers of onion.
And you're crying the whole time.
Well, that's for personal reasons. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, this has been Aloysius J. Pig, Pig Interviews, Mr. David Garby. Go see his play. Thank you so much, and click. Whoa, that was the dot interview. I mean, I feel like I took you to church. I feel like that was great. That was the most serious. That was the most, like, Pig was actually sitting there. I could hear because he was just sitting there listening, and like it felt like he was learning something. Like he was a little pig sponge or something like that. Like he was just taking it all in. Sounds like, I mean, you should go see the play. Do you live in New York? I don't know, but you should go see it. I forget if it's even called a play. Did Pig even ask that? It's a one man show, one man stage play. It's a play. We're gonna call it a play. You should go see the play. I have all the information in the post for it, for Mr. David Gobby's play. Dude, Where Is My Karma? Good job, Pig. Keep it up. Keep getting cool people on the show. So, I left you with a teaser. I didn't even mean to do that, but I saw on the little time thing that I was running out of time before the Pig interview. And when we last talked, there were the pool floats in the backyard. We're back at the birthday party. Back at the spooky Star Wars birthday party with 70 people in the yard. And the kids immediately grabbed all the pool floats. And what do they start doing? They started attacking each other. And not in like a fun, cute, we're attacking each other way. No, no, no. And I want to send people to the hospital. I want to ruin your day, your party. I want to break that child with a pool float kind of way. It was Lord of the Flies. It was Doomsday. It was the end of times. It was really bad. At one point, we had four children on the ground, screaming, crying, holding their faces, rolling around. Parents shocked, aghast. At one point, one of the parents, hit his kid in the tooth specifically, with a pool float. And it took me a while to figure out what that meant, because a pool float is kind of, you know, this. It's a balloon, but it's a hard balloon. I get it. But at the end, there is the blow-up nozzle, and that is hard. And I think that when Kid A swung viciously pool float, The pool, the nozzle part, which was pushed in, as it is supposed to be, is the part that actually hit the kid in the tooth. And that would hurt. Would hurt a lot. You know, especially if you turn around and all of a sudden, bam, you get hit in the face with a pool nozzle float thing. So the dad went out and he said something to the effect of, and I am paraphrasing here because I was distracted by other party things, but said something to the effect of, hey, you know, play nicer, calm down, don't be so violent, whatever. At which point, the other child's mom came out and snapped at the dad. Don't pick my kid out. Don't do it, you know, type of thing. And here's the thing. We were 18 minutes into the party at that point. 18 minutes into a 90-minute party. And there were children on the ground crying, and there were parents snapping at each other. It was not what I expected. It was not what I wanted in a party. The pool floats all went away. All went away. And pretty quickly, I would say within a minute or two, you know, the kids have stopped crying, and now they're playing kid games. Capture the Flag was a big kid game that was played. My kid was like, Dad, we should play Capture the Flag. We should really play Capture the Flag. And I was just like, how do you even know what Capture the Flag is? How do we play it in this bedlam? What is medlam? I don't even know where that came from. Medlam. I like medlam. I feel like it was a pretty big medlam. And he's like, he goes inside and he grabs toys. He's like, these are the flags. I was like, don't bring toys outside. We've got outside toys for outside stuff. But whatever, it happened. And so they do that for a while, right? And we're counting down the clock, and then, like, you know, at this party starts at 4, at 5, so now 30 minutes into the party, we were like, oh, when can we do pizza? And I was like, we can't do pizza until at least 5:15. You know, you have to time everything out. These little animals, you can't just bring pizza out. That'll wreck the whole flow of this medlem. And so 5:15, I stand up and I go, kids, let's get over here and have pizza, whatever. And they lined up in a straight line. And I was just like, wow, look at them. Straight line. We had trays of pizza. They walked by, they grabbed their pizza. Off they went. They grabbed their pizza. Off they went. Now, I will say, because we did not have like specific places for them to sit, this was a very loose party, I'm going to tell you. They were just kind of hanging out, and sometimes a piece of pizza just got dropped on the ground. That's fine. I don't care. You want another one? You don't? You're good? Fine. All right. I pick it up. I throw it away. And then they go and they play some more. And then, you know, it's time for the cake and the blowing out of the candles and the cupcakes. And they were not as straight-lined about that as they were about the pizza. But they were pretty good at that point, you know, and then they got all sugared up, and then they so the rumor that I heard was one child said fist fight, and somebody yelled fist fight like it's a prison yard, and this is after the sugar, I guess, and just punched a kid in the ear, which is, I mean, what is going on? So yeah, it was rough. It was a rough party. It might be the last party that we have, if I'm to be honest, because I don't need it. I don't need that kind of fun in my life. We'll go to Chuck E. Cheese next year. We won't go to Chuck E. Cheese next year. We'll take them down to the track. Don't kids go to the track for a party? I don't know. Petting zoo? What? You're too old for a petting zoo? Ah! All right, sleepover? No, I don't want people sleeping in my house. Get away. So I don't know what we're gonna do, but this year's party. So then I'm looking on Facebook, and all the, like, the parent groups. I'm looking for like blind items to see if we showed up as like so and so did so and such at so and so's party. Woo! But I didn't find anything. But I really wanted that. Like I would have screen captured that, and I would have gotten a tattoo of it. I would not have done that. Anyway, so that was the party. Next weekend, we've got a yard sale, and then I have shows upon shows upon shows, And actually, I can't even tell this story right now because we're running out of time, but I had to cancel a show. I'd have to cancel it. It was canceled on me. Will I talk about it later? I don't know. Ooh, maybe I will. Maybe I won't. Anyway, this, ladies and gentlemen, has been The Bumper Podcast, and you are my best friends, and I hope to talk to you soon, and hopefully we'll get more interviews soon, right? Go check out David Gobby. He's awesome. Great interview. And have a...